Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show, brought to you by Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Your home to watch all the college game day action with an ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. Appreciate everybody coming here for your college football conversation. Auburn has a head coach now, and that's big news. Hugh Freeze. And we had Dave Bartu on yesterday, and he said that when it comes to the coaching metrics, the expected performance for the Auburn program, it would change somewhere else maybe, but for the Auburn program, the expected performance with Hugh Freeze is nearly identical to the expected performance from Lane Kiffin. Well, why would they pursue Lane maybe first or more or as the priority or to a deeper effect or to the $9 million level where they only pursued Hugh Freeze as the, I don't want to say secondary, but secondary, the not the consolation prize. That's not it. But sort of this, all right, well, we didn't get Lane, but and now this is the guy. And why are they paying him $6.5 million? Why would they be willing, if it's almost the same, why would they be willing to pay $9 million if that was the offer, if there was an offer? And I only say that through, you know, being prudent. $9 million. Why would they pay Lane $9 million and Hugh Freeze $6.5 million if, as you say, Chuck, they would – expect nearly identical on-field outcomes because there are off-field issues, or there were, or there have been. He was asked about, Hugh Freeze was asked yesterday about the, there was a, I don't want to say rumor, there was a report. Some folks, like reputable folks, said yes, and this is included. There was a report on Monday when it seemed that this is what was coming together that Hugh Freeze, as part of the conversation and agreement with Auburn, his social media accounts, he had agreed to hands off of all his social media accounts. And he said, that's not true. That didn't happen. And he was aware that it had been reported. He said, that's not true. And he was asked about the text message he had sent in defense of the athletic director at Liberty, who Hugh... Man colored outside the lines. He went astray, and he didn't need a roadmap to do it. He understood fully exactly what – he didn't need to find the way. He knew what he was doing. It in no way compares to the events with the football program at Baylor while the Liberty AD was the AD there. And so that's a factual statement, period. New statement. Hugh Freeze had tweeted out, actually sent a direct message through Twitter to someone, a specific individual person, defending her online appraisal of the Liberty AD. What Hugh, everyone seems to agree, was not aware of at the time he sent his direct message was, first of all, grown man, don't be sending direct messages to whatever. Especially with your past. But he didn't understand the history of this individual on the Liberty campus and the fact that the like legal and sexual assault history and the accusations and how that had turned out. He didn't know that. He just thought it was somebody taking shots at the AD, which after every hire, fire, basketball game, I don't know, whatever, ticket price increase, people attacked the AD, and so Hugh Freeze apparently thought that's he was just defending the AD. He didn't realize any of the context of that. And And those are just details. Still don't do that. What are you doing? Stop. So I've told, almost no one's life has been made better with Twitter. So that was explored as well. And he was like, no. And he apologized for it and for what he had done with the DM there. But he said, no, that's not true as far as taking away my social media accounts or my access to them. It is a commentary that Auburn hired a coach where that could be an inaccurate report, but it could be a report that credible folks went, okay, yeah, I see that. I'll send it out myself. When Florida hired Billy Napier, I don't remember seeing any sort of, and if you're detached from this and you just saw Auburn hired like Brian Harsin, and there's a rumor that he agreed he would be hands-off with all his social media accounts. You go, what? UF hired Billy Napier. And as part of the agreement, Billy Napier has agreed that he won't have any input at all into any of his social media accounts. I didn't hear that about Billy Napier or Brian Harsin or Clark Lee or Shane Beamer. We're having Shane Beamer on tomorrow. Is that right? Or Friday? Tomorrow. I didn't hear that about Shane Beamer when he got, but he's agreed to give up social media. It wasn't accurate, but I heard it about Hugh Freeze. Why? Well, because of something that could be accurate. He says it wasn't, and that it's not, and et cetera. At the other end of the college football scale, a lot of excitement in Auburn. I would say it literally is the exact opposite in Coral Gables, and specifically with the Miami football. A lot of excitement in Auburn, and they don't have any game scheduled. There's nothing going on. There's no bowl. There's no practices. A lot of excitement, though, because bumper crop of in-state recruits and Hugh Freeze and whoever's on the staff hitting the road. A lot of excitement there. Miami, not as much. In fact, 19,000 people all joined together over the weekend to make a brutal comment about their collective lack of excitement in the football program. I want to play a cut here. This is Ken LaVica, and I think Dan knows him maybe. Ken LaVica is midday host, ESPN West Palm Beach. He's also the voice of FAU football, men's basketball. He's a veteran announcer, good dude. And he was talking with one of the local sports TV anchors who is privy to all the game operations, and he's there. Maybe the sideline reporter, I think. But this is Ken LaVica with actually two other people in studio, but he's the host. ESPN West Palm Beach. This is Monday on his show following last weekend, Miami at home against the Pitt Panthers.
Well, we get in that meeting, right? The boss has come in. He goes, as far as the student section tonight, guys, expect less than 40.
Oh, my God.
And there were less than 40.
There were less than
40 students there.
We're not running the buses from campus. None of the kids signed up.
There were zero signups for Miami students to get on the bus from campus and to come to the Canes Pitt game. Zero students. They didn't run a single bus from campus in Coral Gables to Hard Rock Stadium.
This is the regular season finale of the initial season of one of the biggest hires of the entire 2022 offseason. This is the conclusion of Mario Cristobal's first year in Coral Gables. And the Miami Hurricanes finishing at home, night game against Pitt Panthers. Now, they lose the game 42-16. You didn't know that in advance. What you knew in advance is that Miami, let's call it an up-and-down season. What you knew in advance was Miami was 5-6. What you knew in advance is a 6-win gets you a bowl game. What you decided in advance, 19,000 students decided in advance, I don't care if there's a 13th game because I don't care if there's a 12th game. Ken LaVica, again, was part of like stadium operations, someone who's there every single week and before the game was told. Tonight in the student section, And I saw a picture, by the way. It's the lower level bowl where the Miami Dolphins play. And there is a long strip, a section of stands, a whole row of stands, a whole strip, that is clearly where the Miami band is. And it's because you see all the band there and then some folks sitting behind them. And so that section is pretty full. The section literally right next to the band, this is what you do. You put the band and then what? Student section. You put the student section right there. I counted there were 15 people in it. He said 12. He said he was told expect about 40 students there, not 40,000. Expect about 40 students. I saw 15. Ho said there were 12. Maybe a few people had gone to the restroom when he was giving his count. I saw 15. Maybe there were actually 16. Out of 19,000 students at Miami, 19,000 students at Miami. It was Thanksgiving. None of the students are on campus. Did you see Tallahassee Friday night? Folks, and that was at the, like, Black Friday is actually kind of a busy day. Saturday? Well, it's just another college football day, and I'm heading back to campus because we got finals starting on Monday anyway, whatever it is. Kids aren't on campus. Stop. Kids aren't on campus in Tallahassee. You know what I saw? Like, full stadium. Spilling over the top. Kids aren't on campus in Athens, Georgia. You know what I saw? Kids aren't on campus in Tuscaloosa. You know what I saw? Kids aren't on campus College Station. Dan, I assume you watched the A&M game? There wasn't it. Did you see the crowd there? Credit them. Oh, but they're not in school. The expectation was 40 kids out of 19,000. That would be what would populate the stands. It was somewhere, and I'll give them, let's say it was somewhere in the range of actually about half that. Let's say 20 students showed up and at some point was in the student section. What he's saying there about the buses, the game is at Hard Rock Stadium. That's Miami Gardens, Florida. And it's 45-ish minutes away. Think Miami and Fort Lauderdale, basically. And so that's about 45 minutes with no traffic. It's 45 minutes. And so what they will do to encourage attendance is, wait a minute, I'm not that jazzed for the team or the game or the sport or the program or whatever. I'm not that jazzed to begin with, and now I got to drive all the way north up to, and then get back, and it's a whole day, and no. So the school, correctly so, hey, no problem. We'll run buses. All you have to do, go online, sign up with your student ID, and you get a reserved spot. I'm on bus one, seat one. Well, I signed up a little later. I'm on bus one, seat 14. Really? Well, this is like Alabama. Let's say that Alabama was playing Legion Field again. You know what Alabama would do? The university? They'd run buses. And you would, I'm seat one on bus one. Really? I'm seat 12 on bus 58. That's what would happen. If you're running buses from Auburn, if you're running buses from, I don't know, Norman or Austin, students, go online, sign up. Doesn't cost anything. 100% off. It's the best we can do. We will give you ground coach transportation to the door of the stadium. You don't have to worry about parking, none of it. It's free. Just sign up. There are 19,000 kids. Not one of them took the cheese. Not one thought enough to go online, move the mouse around. Like 15 of them actually wound up attending. I don't know, maybe they live there. But not one kid out of 19,000, not one student said, oh, yeah, I'm going to the game. I'll catch the bus. Miami canceled them. Didn't run a single bus because not a single kid said, yeah, I'll be there. What time do they leave? Miami was 5-6 entering the game. Home game against an average Pitt team, and you're bowl eligible, and no one in the student body thought, yeah, that's a priority for me. So it just, that's horrifying to me. That is a tough, tough place for a program to be. All right, we're going to break, come back, continue the Chuck Oliver Show next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There is a incorrect belief about DJU and the numbers, the season that he has posted this year. He's been fine. He's had a better season than last year. He's been perfectly fine. Issue is Clemson's not a program where anybody on the depth chart is, no, he's fine. That's not Clemson. Clemson is, we're in the playoffs. What are you? Clemson is, we're in the championship game. Clemson is, yeah, we had one in like 100 years, and now we got two and four. That's what Clemson is. And DJU, he was fine, folks. He had a fine season. He wasn't good the other day. And Dabo had told everybody, if he's not better, he's not going to play anymore. And he didn't play better. He actually played worse, and he still kept playing. So that was the question. Then the quarterback coach got a little testy. Dabo, I don't think he liked the questions either. But DJ's been fine. I think that there is that a symptomatic, or at least an indicator, maybe the whole Clemson program or the team this year, is the defense. They've been good against the run. And good against scoring overall, you know, not giving up. They've been, you can get them in the air some. But they've been fine. Clemson's not fine on defense. They lead the nation in defense. That's what they're supposed to be. I want to welcome on right now a guy who, he's got the proper perspective on everything when it comes to Clemson. Talks to him every single day. 105.5 The Roar in Clemson. It is Brad Sinkiff. Brad, how are you today?
Chuck, I'm doing great, man. Good to hear from you.
Let's drill down a little bit on DJU. I guess you were on the line there. He's been fine this year, but like Riley Leonard's a sophomore at Duke who's been fine. You know, DJU, the Clemson quarterback, whoever it is supposed to be better than folks. He's been better than you think. Tell me what you think about DJU this season and then just the overall state of that position at Clemson.
Yeah, I think fine is probably the most accurate way to describe it. Now, it can mean, you know, different things to different people, but you're right. I think fine is not maybe quite what Clemson's used to seeing at that position, at least the standard that had been kind of reset once Deshaun and Trevor Lawrence rolled through. They sort of changed things. But, you know, I think DJ confidence was something that got built early in the year, and I think he played much better in the first 6-7 games, and then I think when they've gotten to the latter part of the season here, you see a drop in the numbers, you see a drop in yards per pass attempt, you see 5 of his 7 interceptions have come in the last 5 or 6 games. There's tangible things you can look at to see a little bit of a decline. Is he better than last year? I mean, there's no question. There's no question in my mind he's better than last year. But when they got into pressure situations on Saturday, when they got to a point where it was do or die time, you make or break, you got to hit some big plays, you saw DJ revert to some of the things that he struggled with last year, mechanics, footwork, some of those kind of things. And then his receivers have just really hurt him. It's not all DJ, it's not all the receivers, but you have to recognize the lack of development at that key position. Outside of Antonio Williams, there's just not a really go-to guy in that passing game. I mean, he's the only guy who's still left healthy in that room who has more than 22 catches this year. You know, so like that's a problem.
Yeah,
they didn't use the tight ends in the last game, and so it's compounding to a lot of things. Bottom line, though, DJ's still a quarterback because Cade Klubnik has not done enough in practice to give the coaches faith and belief that he can come in and run the position.
What is your peek ahead to Saturday? I don't know. Drake May can get hot enough and throw for 400, and Clemson hadn't been as great as they've been through the air anyway, you know, defending the pass anyway. So Clemson is threatened on Saturday, absolutely. Give me your preview for what happens.
Yeah, the defense will be tested with Drake May. It's not just his passing ability. It's his threat of running and how you have to respect it.
Yeah.
It helps open up some things in the passing game. And, you know, the secondary got exposed a little bit against South Carolina. They've got to fix some communication and coverage issues. Josh Downs is an absolute monster. I don't think anybody can stop him. He'll probably go for a 130 in this game. It's just going to be about can they get a couple of stops at the key times. And can the offense take advantage of that? And that's what they've not done. Now, this is a North Carolina defense, not as good as some of the other defenses Clemson has scored on this year. So you think they're going to have some success if they can stick to the run. Just get Will Shipley the ball, rely on your playmakers, and get after Drake May a little bit, and I think Clemson can win the game.
All right, I don't say this to be funny. I'm trying to set the stage here. For anyone who's a Clemson fan, when, you know, Tommy West was there, maybe some of the Bowden days, tell me that Clemson fans have enough of a memory that they're not blasé about maybe being ACC champs on Saturday. What's the crowd going to look like?
Boy, you know, it's a little mixed. It's an actual conversation we had on the show today. There's some people who said, I'm selling my tickets, I'm not going, I'm done watching this team. And there's some others who say, whoa, 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 there's a trophy on the line. Anytime you put a trophy up, you expect the best effort from the team and the fan base. I think it'll be maybe a little bit less than what you've seen maybe some years. Maybe some of the excitement is doused a little bit. But I still think Clemson holds winning the conference title in enough regard that the fans will show up. You know, it may not be quite what it's been in the past, but it still matters. And I think you got to send a message to the team and the players. But, hey, we expect you to win this league. It's kind of like the Braves in the NL East, right? Like, this is your division. You dominate it. The same is said about Clemson right now in this conference, and they took a year off last year where they didn't win it. It's a big deal to reassert themselves atop the pecking order because there's a lot of teams out there ready to peck them off the top.
Last thing, we only got about 30 seconds here. Whether it's somebody who's had a blow-up season like Trenton Simpson or maybe somebody who we expected in August to have great years, you know, Murphy or Brzee, is there anybody maybe who will surprise a Clemson fan by being back in 2023?
Ooh, that's tough to say right now. I don't think it'll be Simpson. I don't think it'll be Murphy. I think most of those NFL guys are going to move on. So probably not right now at this moment. It has happened a lot of past years. But I'd say right now, maybe XT. Maybe Xavier Thomas is that guy.
Brad, it's always great insight, man. I appreciate you when you make time for us, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Brad Sinkiff, every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, 105.5 The Roar, right there off exit 19, Clemson. You can take exit 1 and wind around. Everybody knows that, too. Or you can get there, whatever. Easiest, you just loop around on B, and boom, you're right there to the stadium. And so Clemson, they've got an ACC championship, a Power 5 conference championship. As I say, that's not nothing, folks. It may seem underwhelming or a lot less than you're used to. You didn't play in the game last year. And so this year, chance to win the thing. Didn't they lose to Notre Dame 2 years ago? And then I think, or no, they beat Notre Dame. Yeah. They lost in the regular season. Yeah. So anyway, that's the set the stage for an ACC championship game that really is important.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Nine states, 56 sticks. Dealing out college football conversations since the beginning of the 14 season. So happy 8-year birthday to us. That happened back in September. Georgia Tech has a head coach, which is news for Georgia Tech fans. It also is news for Tulane fans. I think it's news for Coastal Carolina fans, but only for a little while. Jamie Chadwell, is he going to be the South Florida coach? I think maybe he's the South Florida coach, I think. So, and by the way, Tampa, love me some Tampa. And players and no income tax and make three times the money and all that. So maybe Jamie Chadwell's down there, whatever. But this is news for a lot of reasons. And I want to bring on best in the business when it comes to talking Georgia Tech from Jackets Online. Mm-hmm. It is Kelly Quinlan. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. I'm freezing up in Iowa right now.
Yeah, I texted you yesterday when it looked like the news might come down that Tech may have hired Brent Key to be the football coach, and you're like, I just landed in Iowa. I was like, what's Kelly doing in Iowa? And then I was like, oh, yeah, Tech played Iowa last night at like 9 o'clock, and they lost. Am I right?
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
All right, give me a quick flyover for the basketball team. If we get to the middle of March and the ACC tournament has just ended, what happens next for the men's team?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting. They have a competitive team. It's really young, but, you know, Josh Pastner sort of is this weird inflection point in his career now with a new AD. So he's got to show some movement as the season goes on with this young team. Otherwise, I think he's going to end up, you know, being in trouble going into next season.
Well, the new AD, as you said, Jay Batt coming over from Alabama. And when he showed up, he didn't have a football coach to begin with. So he had to hire one, didn't fire anybody. But he had an interim, and it's Brent Key. He is now the head coach. Let's first talk about who is the coach. It's Brent Key, Tech guy, been in the game for 20 years as a coach. Tell everybody who Tech has and how this happened.
So Brent Key's, you know, former player. He was, you know, a GA at Georgia Tech, GA, maybe not at Georgia Tech, but UCF. And then, you know, he came back when Jeff Collins got the job. He was on Nick Saban's staff at Alabama. And, you know, Jeff Collins gets fired. Brent gets the job because he was the most logical guy on the staff. And he just won games. And they went 4-4 with him. They went 2-1 against the top 25. They gave Georgia a scare for maybe 2.5 quarters. You know, he coaches football, and he made the team play hard and tough. And despite really, like, some pretty significant injuries, I mean, they lost their starting quarterback, their backup quarterback, and their number one safety going into the season. And they won games, and it didn't really seem to matter who was on the field. So I think that ultimately, at the end of the day, winning with what they had was the big kind of selling point for Brent. And the fact that everyone's going to get behind a guy that's a Tech guy, that is passionate about the program, that has shown competence leading a good product on the field despite having, you know, really some talent issues and some roster issues. There were mistakes Jeff Collins made.
Well, let's talk about how you pivot from that. Brent Key is now the head coach. I said that it solves a lot of – actually, no. It prevents a lot of challenges from ever occurring, and I'm talking financially and staffing, et cetera. What do you think Brent's staff will look like as far as carryover from the guys he's been working for under Collins?
I think there's like maybe 5 guys that on the field staff that have potential to stay. And then I think when you get beyond that, there's going to be some obvious changes. I think, you know, my honest opinion is I think they'll make a change at offensive coordinator. I don't know what he does with Andrew Thacker, the DC, who did a good job. I know he likes Andrew, and him and Jason Seymour and some of the other guys on the defensive staff really have done an outstanding job this year with what they were working with. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. There are financial constraints. That's the thing. Like, he can't go out and hire every hotshot coordinator, every hotshot assistant coach. He has some money to play with, but he's going to be judicious in how he uses it. So to me, the big thing is, you know, figuring out the 2 coordinator spots and then filling out your staff. And, you know, given the fact he's been in the business for 20 years and has worked for people like Nick Saban and George O'Leary, he has a long list of Rolodex of guys that he wants to work for him. And I think that's what he's going through right now. My understanding is his process today is sorting through the current staff, figuring out who he wants to keep, where he wants to make changes, letting those guys know where they stand, and then moving ahead with the process of finding replacements for those guys.
You know, truth is, you got to figure it out, make it work no matter where you are. I mean, no excuses. I will say, having never attended Georgia Tech, it is not the most likely program to have a lot of success in the transfer portal. Now, football, and I've said, raggedy football, you know, Lane Kiffin figures it out. So you can do it. But football is a tough sport to get that right, importing 15, 20 new guys that are supposed to play anyway. But at Tech, again, the culture, the academics, I think it's an additional challenge. What do you believe is the truth about whoever the coach is, the ability for Georgia Tech to dramatically improve 1 year to the next based on the portal?
I think the portal is where you go to fill a few holes. And the issue with Georgia Tech, which you hit on pretty perfectly, is academics. The reality is they can't take kids that are sophomores and juniors in high school because their credits don't really transfer over with the way that it's not a liberal arts school. There's no liberal arts major. So once you're a certain point into your academic career, it becomes difficult to transfer those credits into Georgia Tech because they just don't come over. There's no classes that coincide with what you took at your old school. So that's where the rub is. So they have to take grad kids and freshmen, and that's what they've done. They've taken young guys that maybe weren't happy with where they went and then taken a few guys like Keon White from Old Dominion. I think that's the path for them, is finding the Keon Whites of the world, these guys that are maybe playing at Old Dominion or someplace, graduating and looking to get, improve their draft stock, or looking to play P5 football for the first time. And that's, where they've hit it on some transfers. But the reality is, if you go back and look at all the transfers they've taken of the older kids, a lot of them have not worked out. So I think you've got to use it more as a way to backfill, some spaces. Like, I think in this class, they'll need some linebackers because you lose AC Elliott and Charlie Thomas. So if I'm, betting on what Georgia Tech's going to go after in the portal, I think that's what it's going to be. So, that's where they got to do it. You can't just have it be a blanket thing where this is like JUCOs and it's Kansas State in the 90s. Like, that's not it. It's got to be we're building this piece by piece, and this is the pieces we need right now. And that's what they're looking at in each cycle, and that's how they're going to spend their NIL money too.
Dan, clip what Kelly said about Kansas State. Put it on their message boards. Let Kelly go viral, okay? Wrapping up with Kelly Quinlan from Jackets. Kelly said it. Jackets Online. You mentioned a kid there, Charlie Thomas, and I don't mean to sound rah-rah, whatever here. That's a special kid, and he was like a three-star safety coming out of South Georgia. That there were some SEC offers, and there was also Troy and Tulane and South Alabama for Charlie Thomas, and he goes to Tech. Do you think – I say right now, the footprint of our show, 90% of the people listening have no idea who Charlie Thomas is. Do you think he's a Sunday guy? I think he is, man. He played a lot of really productive football, and there were some Saturdays he looked like a one-man gang out there.
Yeah, I think he's a guy who can play. He runs like a safety. He's not a great coverage guy. That's why he doesn't play safety. Yeah. He's okay at coverage. He can cover running backs and tight ends okay. But, he's the racer. He was the racer for the defense. He's the hardest guy to replace. Keon White was the guy that's going to get drafted the highest probably. But Charlie's the guy that is going to be the hardest to replace because he can run sideline to sideline every single play and do it over and over again and make plays. He was the guy that forced a lot of fumbles. He was the one guy that really – was their spark in the really bad season in 2021. He would make some plays on defense, on a very bad defense. I think that Charlie absolutely has a chance to play on Sundays. I think he's going to impress people when he gets in the combine. The big thing with him has just been keeping weight on. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's just a really good football player, but you got to find where he fits. Last couple of things, Kelly Quinlan again, Jackets Online. So what is the fan base? Just give us the flyover. What does the fan base think about Brent Key as the hire and the fortunes going forward?
I would say 90% of, maybe not that high, but whatever it is, are happy with Brent. I think when they saw what the options were and what they were, the pool they were fishing in, that you weren't going to go hire the Lincoln Riley of this coaching search time, or Lane Kiffin or whatever. You had to be realistic about it. And, in the situation they're in, I think Brent's a great fit. They've seen him win games that no one expected them to win, seen them cover in games where no one expected them to cover. They gave Georgia a great game. I think a lot of people kind of turned their minds during the last two games against North Carolina and Georgia, where they're playing with their third string and fourth string quarterback and just kind of, trying to come up with something. And they were competitive in games where everyone expected it to be a three-touchdown blowout or more. So I think that people are optimistic about Brent. I think they know that no one's going to work harder than Brent. I think that's where people got excited. I think when you started seeing Willie Fritz at 62 years old as a possibility, the fact that it even got floated out there was a real kind of gut check for the anti-Key people. And they were like, well, wait a second. Do you want to have the ninth oldest coach in college football next year out of 131 teams? So, Willie Fritz would have been great in 2018, Chuck, not in 2022.
How real was the pursuit of Fritz and/or Chadwell?
They were in on Chadwell. They tried to get in on Bill O'Brien. We're priced out of that. You know, and then Fritz was very real. And everyone's so curious kind of what happened there, whether that was leaked intentionally or it was just, you know, leaked accidentally or whatever. But however it got out, it really blew up. And it seemed like, if you remember the Ken Wisenhunt thing in 2018. And, like, how the furor over that, it was not quite that bad, but it was people didn't understand that that would be the move you would go make to resurrect your program when you had Brent Key, who has as many top 25 wins as Willie Fritz does, and Willie Fritz has been a coach for 30 years.
Kelly, appreciate it as always, man. It's great insight. Thank you.
No problem, Chuck.
Kelly Quinlan, live from Iowa, and Jackets Online, and the men's basketball team, it's a little bit of a struggle. But the football team, there is, looks like clouds parting, sun shining, factories are going back to work. It's good times down on the flats. At least there is some off-season excitement and momentum. Now, there was that for Jeff Collins, if we go back just is almost exactly 3 years ago. And the timeline's a little different because of how the calendar fell that year. But it was Paul Johnson who had, say what you will, there was a stinker of a season, maybe in 15. There's like a three-win season, and I think that's the season they upset Florida State on the blocked field goal. It was a bad season, and it was on the heels of his best season, I believe. But those were extremes. Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech really wasn't 2014 or 15. Paul Johnson was most of the like almost any other year. All right, that's really what Paul was. And it was winning games, and it was going to bowls, and it was giving you a – this is the way I describe Paul Johnson. I think it's perfect. With Paul Johnson, you had a much better chance of winning the conference than either before or after to this point. With Bobby Ross, with Chan Gailey, or with Jeff Collins, and I'll even say Brent Key, based on what I know, he's been the coach for about 20 hours. You had a better chance to win the conference with Paul. You had no chance, zero, to win a national title. And so I was like, what's your goal? And most Tech fans, off the record, a lot of them, I want to be relevant. I want to compete with Georgia. And they would say it that way. And I want to beat them ever so often. Do you know what I'm saying here? This is like South Carolina stuff versus Clemson most years. This is what you say when you are so clearly, I don't say little brother, but kind of that. I want to compete. Well, with Paul, you did it. And you realize, I thought it was a great moment for the fan base. You realize you wanted more than that. I want to compete. I just want to ever so often beat him. No, we're doing that now. It's not enough. So want what you want. And understand that, you know, what you want is limited to the ACC, well, you already had that. And you had about the best it was going to be with Paul. If you have ambitions beyond your conference, and you have to now because there's no more Coastal to kind of rescue you and help you, you know, delude yourself into thinking you're winning something. If you have ideas beyond the ACC, and you need to, then this is at least another step in the right direction for Georgia Tech.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
This is a TCU team that has continued to find ways to win. Boo Corrigan talked about how the defense has improved throughout the entire season. K-State is a team they beat during the regular season. And that's a top 10 team right now. So at number three, I think TCU has some margin for error if they're not able to win that Big 12 title.
Heather Denich, I've used the words embedded. Wolf Blitzer in Iraq. She's embedded. Comes to media members who know what's what with the playoffs. Heather's about the top of the heap, and that is her comment. Boo, who she is referencing there, Boo is the chair from NC State. And the comments last night about TCU having more margin for error than Cincinnati did a year ago. And Cincinnati, of course, capped it off with a dub and then, you know, rolled in as the number four seed and was on the business end. TCU, they're outstanding. And I will tell you that one difference is they have, when they're healthy, they have just monsters at wide receiver. And I mean big, big, big dudes. And it's more than just Quentin. They have, when they're healthy and everybody's playing, they can physically overwhelm you. I don't think they have two NFL corners. I don't know. I don't know if they have like a top five pick at corner. I don't think so. But they've got a lot. And remember, Zach Evans left them. So they're heading the playoffs. I agree with it. So that's Heather Denich from ESPN, on ESPN, talking last night. Anywhere you hear me right now, if you're actually in the footprint of that station, not listening, if you've got the app, you can listen anywhere. If you're listening online, anywhere, if you're in the footprint of the program, then go to a Hooters and enter to win a pair of tickets to the semifinal game in Atlanta, end of the month, as well as a two-night hotel stay. That's coming to you from Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Any Hooters in the footprint, use your phone, enter on the TV there inside the Hooters. If you hashtag out Hootersville, drinking a Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper and Hooters are going to say another entrant for that person. So, man, woman, whomever, I think you got to be 18, so I can't say child. Get yourself into a Hooters. We had a winner for the – somebody from Jackson, Mississippi went into the Hooters, won a pair of tickets and the hotel stay, and so they will be in Atlanta. Two-night hotel stay and a pair of tickets to the championship game Saturday afternoon downtown Atlanta. That's already happened, so we're moving into the semifinal game. So make sure you do that. Dan, how's your Wednesday going?
Oh, awesome. I mean, any chance to be able to go see the Super Bowl of the South, that is which I can't take credit for naming it that. My old buddy Jason Goff, who now does radio up in Chicago years ago, he said that, and I said, you know what, Jason? I think you might be on something. So you might have missed the opportunity, though, Jason, if you're listening out there, for T-shirts and everything else that could have possibly been sold outside now Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You know, I saw the news yesterday that I don't believe we have mentioned so far. Which, speaking of coaches, by the way, programming note, tomorrow, top of hour two, Shane Beamer, South Carolina head coach. He is going to join us right here. And I know some of you out there might be asking, but Dan, you know, there's Hugh Freeze now at Auburn. There are coaches at a couple of other places that have been hired on. I am working on it. We will make sure to make that happen.
Oh, yeah. This is the time of year. This is one of the times of year where coaches actually have just a minute to maybe get on the phone.
There you go. There you go. So maybe we can catch somebody while they are on their way to their next in-home visit. But, you know, I see the news from UAB that supposedly they're going to go Trent Dilfer as their head coach. And I know that usually, it's like I talked about earlier, whenever there is a new head coaching hire made, there are two groups that are the loudest voices. There are the ones who say, oh, my gosh. Home run, you absolutely crushed this. This is going to be great. Our program is going to be the next step forward to conference championships and everything else that good comes with that. And then you have the other people. They're not qualified. Or look at what they did, the detractors that are out there. I look at a hire like this for UAB, and I say there is no you know, floor for this that you look at and say, yeah, not good enough to be able to bring up next to, say, a position coach from Georgia or somewhere else that maybe you would have gone with. I appreciate it when schools like UAB decide to go this route, because you could continue to do the same thing that everybody else does. Let's go with the receivers coach from this school. Let's go with the, you know, defensive line coach from this school. Let's go with them, you know, and you know, because they have the proven Power Five record and all these other things. But then you go with a guy like Trent Dilfer, who obviously has the national accolades from his playing days, but also, too, more notably for his quarterback coaching with Elite 11 and also, too, his work with ESPN and other networks of the sort, that he's got a little bit of a name brand recognition to it. He's been coaching high school football in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's what I look at with some of these programs, is that you need to ask yourself, number one, who are you? And number two, do you want to continue to do the same thing that everybody else does? Everybody writes the same stories. Everybody has the same opinions. Or do you want to be the ones that set the next trend? Because I'm telling you right now, if it works out well, we've seen high school coaches make the jump to college coaching before, and it has worked. And what has it done for other people? All of a sudden, it's given them a chance to look at the 6A coach that might be the legend in that state and say, hey, are you kind of tired of teaching health class, or would you like to be able to, you know, sub out health class for recruiting or some of the other things that come with the job of not having to find yourself in the faculty lounge on a daily basis? I appreciate the fact that UAB was willing to put themselves out there. And if you're another school that's kind of like UAB, look at doing something similar.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer, high school coach in Nashville. And without the extensive resume of 7 state championships in Texas or Arkansas or Mississippi, or this is not as unusual. It's just unusual because we already knew the guy. I think we're not looking at Trent as a high school coach. We're looking at him as the guy on TV who was an NFL quarterback. Why are you hiring him? Well, he's a high school coach now. And college teams hire high school coaches. It's a growing thing. It's a I'll say beyond a trend. That started happening about 15 years ago. So kind of what it is. And you're right. It's a little different. And if it turns out well, good for them. All right. Wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. Back in 22 hours. More college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.